the federal relief programs are just a part of this. You know, PPP, EIDL, obviously a big source of relief, but for a lot of small businesses, there are options available at the state and local level.
Hi, I'm Jim Doyle, President of Business Forward, and you're listening to the Business Forward podcast. Business Forward helps local business leaders fix Washington by bringing Washington to them. Subscribe to our podcast to hear conversations with policy experts, elected officials, and business leaders about important issues like climate action and affordable health care.
In this episode, Business Forward and Small Business for America's Future brief Bharat Ramamurthy, Deputy Director of the National Economic Council, on the American Rescue Plan. He answered questions from business leaders on the plan's industry-specific provisions, how small businesses will benefit, and what's coming next. This briefing is a part of a series of briefings Business Forward and our partner, Small Business for America's Future, will conduct with Biden officials on critical economic, climate, and healthcare issues. We hope you enjoy the conversation.
Well, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Rhett Buttle with the Small Business for America's Future team. The Business Forward team, our team, and our close to over 30 plus business partner leaders are so pleased to be able to host the White House team for this important briefing. Our series of briefings with members of the Biden-Harris administration gives small business owners, just like you, a seat at the table to share what's most important to you. So we're so glad to have you here. We want to thank our many partners, including many, many local and state organizations, folks who represent the Black community, the Hispanic business community, the AAPI community, as well as many from the small business, the entrepreneurship, the Main Street centers across the country. Thank you to so many of you who responded so quickly to make sure to get out the word about this very, very important call. With that, let's talk about today's program. Many of you know Bharat, who's the Deputy Director of the National Economic Council. He's been with us before, and we're pleased to have him back. Today, we've asked him to discuss the American Rescue Plan. I think the last time many of us were together, this was not yet law. So it's exciting that the president has now signed it into law. And we want to hear today about its effect and what you all should expect next. He'll be in moderated question and answer with Renee Johnson, who's a senior advisor with the Small Business for America's Future team. And of course, we'll take your questions. We're also going to hear from Zach Butterworth, who's the Director of Private Sector Engagement at the White House, and hear closing remarks from Jim Doyle, who's the President of Business Board. With that, let's go ahead and get started so we can give as much attention to the content as we can. And it's my pleasure to turn the conversation over to Bharat. Bharat, take it away.
Thanks, Rhett. It's good to see everyone, to be here with everyone again. Thanks for having me. I want to keep my opening remarks really short so that we can maximize the amount of time to take questions for everyone. So just a few quick things. Number one, small business is really close to the heart of this president. He campaigned on it throughout his career in politics. He's emphasized how important it is to have small businesses, to support mom and pop operations that are on the main streets of towns across the country. This has been obviously a very, very hard time for small businesses. We've lost, by one estimate, about 400,000 small businesses during the pandemic. A lot more are really struggling and barely holding on. And we know also that there's been a disproportionate impact in that Black-owned businesses, Hispanic-owned businesses, women-owned businesses have gotten hit harder overall and have had a little bit harder time accessing relief. So the president was clear that when he got into office, he was gonna do two things. Number one, all of the small business relief programs that were already going on, he was gonna make sure that those were distributing relief more equitably, really trying to target the hardest hit areas and trying to get relief to folks, to companies that may not have gotten relief before. And number two, he knew that just changing the implementation of these programs wasn't enough. We need to provide more support to small businesses. And that was a central part of his American Rescue Plan. So just a couple of points on that, on those two provisions. Number one, we have made significant changes to the way that small business relief is operating through the Paycheck Protection Program. We announced recently that there would be a two-week exclusivity period for businesses with fewer than 20 employees. We changed how relief for sole proprietors would be calculated to make sure that they would have the option of getting more relief. We removed student loan delinquency as a reason for denying somebody a PPP loan, a change that ended up resulting in 30,000 additional loans being able to go through the system. And we clarified that people with ITIN numbers could participate in the program because we had heard that uncertainty around that was resulting in a lot of those folks, a lot of whom are in immigrant communities, getting denied relief. What we've seen overall in the data is that this round of PPP is meeting those goals that the president had set. More money is going to the very smallest businesses, more money is going to businesses in rural areas and in low and moderate income communities. And we are pleased to see that. Now, you know, that in itself is not enough. And so that's why in the American Rescue Plan, there's roughly $60 billion of additional support for small businesses. The key provision there is about $28 billion for restaurants and bars, which is, according to the data, the hardest hit industry across the country. And that's gonna be in the form of grants. There'll be $15 billion in additional grants through the EIDL Advance Program, which is gonna be targeted at smaller companies in hard hit areas. There's additional money for the PPP. And there's $10 billion for a small business opportunity fund, which is gonna work through state and local governments and leverage private capital at something like 5-to-1, 8-to-1 historically, and end up resulting in about somewhere between $50 and $100 billion worth of capital going into small businesses across the country. And that's working capital that will allow businesses not just to survive this crisis, but come out the other side and be able to grow, which is a priority of this president's. So look, I know that there's a lot of moving pieces in all these relief programs. And that actually reminds me, and an important part of what the president has pushed for is navigators, folks who will help those small business owners who don't have a team of accountants and lawyers on staff figure out which relief program is best for them and how to actually go from step one of filling out the application, working with the SBA or a lender to actually getting the money into their account so they can use it. The American Rescue Plan included $100 million to support community navigators across the country that will provide this kind of service. And I think really move the needle on offering support to folks who may not have gotten it before. So with that, I wanna take your questions about either what's in the American Rescue Plan, what we're doing right now on small business, or anything else that might be on your mind.
Thanks so much, Bharat, for those amazing remarks. So Bharat, many small business owners across the country have been impacted by COVID-19. A lot of small businesses feel hope given the passage of the American Rescue Plan. The Biden-Harris administration has inherited some programs and now will have some new additional ones. I know you just sort of broke down some of it, but can you break it down even more, right? More specifically, what is currently available to small businesses? And then also what's more to come within what's passed within the American Rescue Plan?
Sure, okay, this is like a good quiz. The most important one, as you know, at the moment is the Paycheck Protection Program. There's still tens of billions of dollars worth of capacity in that program. And the current deadline is March 31st. So if you or your business has not gotten PPP this time around, there's time and money available to go to a lender, get through the process and get that money before the deadline. Actually, right now, the House of Representatives is considering a bill that would extend that deadline by about 2 months, so into May. Obviously, if the House passes it, if the Senate passes it, it comes to the president's desk, there'll be an extension of the program. You know, those are some hoops that we that need to get jumped through, but the first step in the process is occurring right now with the House considering that bill. There is the Shuttered Venues Program, which was created by Congress in December. That's intended for live venue operators, museums, and concert halls, and that kind of thing. The way that that program was designed, it was designed to give grants to those types of companies. That presented a new challenge for the SBA, which is typically gives loans to companies, right? And so that forced the SBA to develop an entirely new, essentially technology system and process for administering those grants. As a result, it's taken them a little bit of time to stand up that program. The good news is that they've been working tirelessly at this. They are gonna be able to start taking applications for this program in early April. And so that's an important new program that's available to a particularly hard hit industry. Another thing that happened in the American Rescue Plan that's important in this regard is that it clarified that if you are one of these live venue operators and you can't wait until early April to get your grant, you can get PPP. And then you can get a separate grant later through the Shuttered Venues Program. It's just that your Shuttered Venues grant will be reduced by the amount of your PPP loan. It used to be that you could only choose one or the other. Now you have the option of getting both if you need immediate relief. There are pre-existing programs from earlier in the pandemic. The EIDL Advanced Program is still available to folks. As we mentioned, in the American Rescue Plan, there's $15 billion additional dollars for that. EIDL loans are still available. And quite, in fact, there's quite a bit of lending capacity available for those products. And then all the regular SBA products that existed before the pandemic remain available as well. What we have going forward is the restaurants program that I mentioned. Our hope is that because it is similar to the Shuttered Venues program in the sense that it is it is grants to a specific industry, it should not be that complicated or time consuming to stand up that program, because it will be very similar to the Shuttered Venues program that SBA has already spent a lot of time working on. I don't have firm timing on that yet, but my hope is that it will not be too much after when we can start accepting applications on the Shuttered Venues program. And as I mentioned, there's a Small Business Opportunity Fund that's going to operate through the Treasury Department, which will send grants to the states so that state and local governments can administer these programs. The Treasury Department has 60 days to set that program up and get money out to the states. It will then take a little bit longer for the states to then get the money out to companies. But remember that money is intended to be sort of longer term capital for small businesses looking to expand and grow. And so you would expect that, you know, a little bit later into the summer.
Wow, it sounds like there's a lot of programs that are out there. So there's a lot of opportunities for people to get relief at this point in time. We have a question from Daryl Johnson, Arlington, Virginia. He's located, and he's from one of our partner groups that have helped to make this call possible today. So thanks, Daryl, for your question. And it's, thank you for leading on the extension of the Employee Retention Tax Credit, which has been critical yet lesser known, important recovery tool. How can trade associations and the White House partner together to get the word out about this important program?
I'm so glad, is it Daryl? That Daryl asked that question. Yeah. Because look, I failed my test. I didn't mention the Employee Retention Credit when I was going through all those programs, which kind of highlights the problem. You're right, it is a incredibly powerful and helpful program for small businesses. As of right now, using the Employee Retention Credit, any small business can get $7,000 a quarter per employee worth of coverage through the Employee Retention Credit. In other words, the credit will cover up to $7,000 per quarter per employee that you have. There are a few key changes to that. Number one, this year, Congress increased that to $7,000. It used to be a little bit less last year. Number two, Congress clarified again that you could get PPP and you could use the Employee Retention Credit. It's not one or the other. The only thing you can't do is that if you use PPP to cover, let's say, March and April payroll, you can't use the Employee Retention Credit to cover those same weeks of payroll. But you can use it to cover, you know, May, June, July. The credit extends all the way through the end of the year. So if you go to irs.gov and search for Employee Retention Credit, you should see some good fact sheets about how you can access this. I swear it's not too complicated. And it's a really powerful credit that allows you to really cover a lot of the costs of payroll all the way through the end of the year.
That's great. And it sounds like for partner organizations, they can use that as a link and put that out there to their networks of small business owners for them to be aware of this income credit.
Exactly. Yeah. Anything that folks on this call can do to raise awareness about this, to share, you know, best practices on how to access it quickly and simply, would be great, because I think the capacity is there. There's no cap on how much money the government can dedicate to this credit. And that means $7,000 every quarter for every employee that you have all the way through the end of the year. So please do take advantage of what's available.
That sounds like a great tax credit to have. So thank you for highlighting that. And thanks, Daryl, for bringing that up. It looks like many people are wondering what these new programs mean for sole proprietors. As you know, most small businesses, a large population of them, don't have employees, right? So we're hearing a lot about these changes, but we want to know more specifically about the Biden-Harris administration and their aim for the self-employed. And are you able to explain how those who are sole proprietors are able to apply for PPP as well as all the other programs as well, if they're eligible for them?
Yep. So sole proprietors have been and continue to be eligible for PPP. One thing that we did that we put in place roughly 7 to 10 days ago at this point was a change in the way that we calculate the amount of PPP relief that sole proprietors can get. It used to be based on the net income on your tax filing, which for a lot of sole proprietors is very low. We changed it so that it's based on your gross income up to a cap of about $20,000. And so that means that if you're a sole proprietor, you can get a PPP loan up to and equal to your gross income on your tax filing. Again, up to that cap that I mentioned of about $20,000. And that's going to, for a lot of sole proprietors, open up the possibility of significantly more relief than what they were entitled to before. And, you know, we thought that was an important change to make because, as you said, a huge percentage of businesses are sole proprietors, number one. Number two, we know that about 70% of sole proprietors are minority or women-owned businesses. And that compares to 40% women and minority-owned for non-sole proprietor businesses, right? So there's a big disparity. In fact, I think it's 95% of Black-owned businesses are sole proprietors. And it's similarly high for Hispanic-owned businesses. So, you know, we felt like this was a critical equity issue. This was important to make sure that that sole proprietors, that minority-owned business, that women-owned business got access to relief so that they can continue to operate and serve their communities. So encourage folks to take advantage of that if they have not already. And of course, if PPP is extended past the March 31st deadline, as you know, the bill in the House would do, then you know we can potentially have a longer period of time where those loans will be available.
Thanks for that. And to piggy off of that question or statement about the March 31st deadline, we know Congress is currently in discussions to extend that timeline for the PPP. Can you share more about the White House perspective on the extension of that deadline?
Sure. So, you know, look, we are looking forward to the House debating that today. You know, as you know, the House is considering a 2-month extension through the end of May with an additional period thereafter during which you can't, it won't accept additional applications, but you can process applications that came in before that, the end of the May deadline. Look, I don't want to get out ahead of anything before the House considers this bill. What I will say is that we have seen a tremendous response to the changes that the Biden administration announced a couple of weeks ago. We've seen, since the sole proprietors change I mentioned went into effect, we've seen a pretty significant increase in the number of sole proprietor applications coming through the system every day. Overall, this round, like I said, significantly more money going to businesses in rural communities, going to smaller mom and pop businesses with fewer than 5 employees. We'd like to keep that going. You know, we think we have momentum right now and that there's still a demand for the program. So, you know, we look forward to seeing what the House does hopefully today. And then of course, that's only step one of the process.
Yeah, so definitely we're all gonna start looking to what the House decides and how that moves forward. And hopefully there'll be some good news on the home front.
Yeah.
Some more questions are coming in. There's a ton of questions, Bharat. Some people want to know more about sort of the American Rescue Plan, the ARP, which was, of course, signed into law on March 11th by President Biden and had several programs to help numerous businesses and create a navigators program. Are you able to talk about the ARP and what programs are in it for small business owners specifically? And then more specifically, can we dive into sort of the navigators program too?
Sure. So the ARP, as I mentioned before, contains the $28 billion restaurant grant program, $15 billion worth of of additional funding for the EIDL advance grants, and then $10 billion for the Small Business Opportunity Fund, which I mentioned, it goes through state and local government and leverages private capital to provide sort of longer term working capital for small businesses. Critical part about that that I just want to highlight, in a lot of these programs that we're what we're talking about are making sure that existing businesses get relief. But as I mentioned before, 400,000 businesses went out of business during the pandemic. And there's a lot of small business owners, good small business owners who did everything right that lost their business. And we still, and they're probably still looking for an opportunity to start their next business. The Opportunity Fund is intended to help those folks because you know we know that they're good entrepreneurs and good business people. And we want them to get a chance to get another shot. And that's a priority of the president's. On Navigators, this is a model that's worked very well, you know, at the state and local level, where you have partners that are, you know, well-respected and familiar with certain communities, right? You have nonprofit organizations, you have chambers of commerce who are used to working with particular types of businesses and business owners. And what we want them to do with the support, you know, both the guidance and the financial support of the federal government, is explicitly provide services to the businesses in their area to help them navigate these small business programs, right? So, you know, a lot of what we hear repeatedly when we do calls with small business groups is, you know, a lot of the members don't know what relief options are available. They don't know whether PPP or EIDL or something else is the right option for them. They don't really know how to get started on filling out an application. They may not have a bank that they work with regularly. Where are they going to go to get a PPP loan? You know, Navigators are going to be able to help with that. And because they're community navigators, they're going to be familiar with the specific challenges that exist in certain communities, right? Where maybe there aren't as many banking options, or maybe there are certain language barriers that exist that make it hard for certain types of business owners to get relief. You know, we're dedicated to making sure that all those folks get relief. And one thing I've heard the president say repeatedly about these programs is you have to know how to know, right? You have to know how to understand what options are available to you. And that's step one, because if you can't do that, it doesn't matter how many fabulous relief programs you have if they're not actually gonna help the people who need it most.
No, that makes perfect sense. My dad has that same saying of if you don't know what question to ask, you don't know what answer you're supposed to get. Mm-hmm. So that makes perfect sense. And also with the ARP, I noticed that there are a ton of restauranters that are on here. And so a lot of people want to know more about what's happening with the programming for restaurants. Are you able to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so we were very glad to support and pass, you know, a bipartisan restaurant grant program that's got $28 billion worth of funding. You know, this program, like the Shuttered Venues program I mentioned before, is not a loan, it's a grant. And it's a grant that's basically based on a measurement of how much revenue the restaurant lost, you know, quarter over quarter. The maximum grant amount is pretty high. I think it's $10 million. So this is going to help, you know, small and medium-sized restaurants. You know, just as a quick aside, the data on what's happening to restaurants and bars is pretty troubling. You know, I remember in the December jobs report, we lost 400,000 jobs just in restaurants and bars. And it was by far the biggest category of job losses. I think that over the course of the pandemic, if you look at it by industry, the job losses in restaurants and bars and hospitality is by far the biggest area of job losses. So we thought it was important to help create a program that was specifically dedicated to those types of companies. As I said, our hope is that we can get that program stood up relatively quickly because it resembles the Shuttered Venues program that SBA has already spent a lot of time setting up. I unfortunately don't have a firm date for you. As I mentioned, the Shuttered Venues program should go live in early April. And my hope is that, you know, within a few weeks after that, the restaurants program would be able to get started.
And that they people will be still able to access the information, and you know there'll probably be some more webinars that will lead up to that. So people will still be engaged prior to the announcement of that, we're hoping, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I know that the SBA has been doing webinars regularly with all sorts of different groups to explain what relief programs are available. And I think that they've been in close contact with small business groups representing restaurants in the process of thinking through how to stand up this program.
Great, that's good to know. We're seeing some questions that are coming in about the $15 billion in flexible targeted grants to help small businesses who have had a hard time accessing relief over the 12 months, including most nonprofits and churches. Up to 90% of minority-owned small businesses qualify for this funding, closing the racial gap and keeping local economies from deteriorating. Are you able to share more about what this flexible funding is?
Yeah, so it's going to operate through the EIDL Advance Program, which is a program that offers up to $10,000 grants to businesses located typically in low and moderate communities, income communities, and in hard-hit areas. There was tremendous interest and demand for these advances last time around, such that we ran through the funding that was available very quickly. You know, these are well-targeted programs because the businesses that are eligible for it, like I said, tend to be smaller and located in low and moderate income communities. And so we thought that a good way of providing additional relief to those areas and to those types of businesses was to put additional funding into this program, which there's already, an infrastructure in place to make sure that the funding is delivered quickly. So, we will be getting that money, into the program relatively quickly, and hopefully those grants will be going out the door quickly as well.
Well, that's good to know as well. There's a lot of great information you're dropping here, Bharat. We really appreciate it. We have Bedelia Brown from Detroit, Michigan, who I think may have missed earlier, but I think this is a great question to just generally ask. How will the American Rescue Plan help start up businesses? And I think that can be from startups to restarting businesses. So just the gamut of small business.
Yeah, so I think that there's two major provisions on that. Number one, as I mentioned, the Small Business Opportunity Fund, that's the program that operates through the state and local governments. That's focused on providing capital to businesses, both existing businesses and to new businesses, right? To providing legitimate startup capital for businesses. And that program was modeled on a really successful program that followed the financial crisis in 2008. It was called the State Small Business Credit Initiative. And you look back at the data on how that program worked, every federal taxpayer dollar was leveraged, I think, at about 8 to 1 with private dollars. And the program just had an incredible track record for helping businesses start up. When they followed up with those businesses a few years later, a huge percentage of them were still going, had expanded, were employing people in their communities. And so the return for taxpayers on every dollar that they put into this program in terms of jobs created was off the charts. So we figured this was a great program to revive. And you already have a lot of the infrastructure in place because you have all these state and local programs that were set up 10 years ago for that program. And a lot of them are still operational. So they just need a little bit more funding to get moving. The other thing is that Senator Hassan from New Hampshire was very focused on the question of startups. And she pushed for inclusion in the American Rescue Plan, a change to the way that the employee retention credit works. As I mentioned, that provides, helps cover the cost of payroll for small businesses. The way that that program was originally designed, startups weren't really eligible for it because you had to compare, you had to have been in business for a little while. Senator Hassan, I think, believed that excluded a lot of businesses that were starting up, that were trying to fill a niche, that may have existed, that came into being because of the pandemic, were trying to serve their communities and needed a little bit of relief. So if you are a startup, business that started up, let's say a year ago, or maybe a little bit less, take a look at the employee retention credit because there are options available for you.
Thanks, Bharat. want to go back a little bit to the Community Navigator program, because there's some coming in about that. And more specifically, many people are wondering how the American Rescue Plan is intended to help many Native, tribal, Black, Hispanic, AAPI, disabled, veteran, and women-owned businesses. Are you able to chat about how the Biden-Harris administration plans to reach these small businesses, and more specifically, how through the Community Navigators program do they plan to do so?
Yeah, so, you know, the Navigator program is, you know, designed to do just that. You know, we heard a lot about how in previous rounds of small business relief, there were a lot of language and cultural barriers on this, right? And when we would talk with AAPI business groups, they would say, you know, a lot of the small business owners that they work with, you know, their primary language may not be English, you know, and so they need help accessing documents that are in English, and maybe getting them translated so that they get access to the relief that they are entitled to. that's exactly what the community navigators are supposed to help with, right? These are groups that are well established in these communities and that are trusted, which I think is important, and can go out and provide that kind of advice and support so businesses get it relief. The other thing we're trying to do is, and this is, you know, something that the president has said as a priority, is to just, you know, do outreach and spread the word, you know, doing webinars like this. You know, SBA, I think almost on a daily basis, is doing webinars with LGBT business groups and women-owned business groups and Black-owned business groups to try and answer questions, to try and make sure that we are getting ahead of problems that we are seeing, right? So we believe that hearing from small business owners on the ground that, hey, it's kind of hard to get access to this program, or, you know, the lenders in my community say that it's too late to apply. Is that true? Like, the more we can hear that directly from business owners, the more that we can be a little bit ahead of the curve in trying to address that stuff proactively. And I think that it's worked. You know, I just want to make one last point on this, which is not quite related, but I think an important one. It was very, very important to this president that we not see the kind of waste, fraud, and abuse in small business relief programs that we saw in previous rounds. And, you know, and to its credit, Congress stepped up and addressed some of the major flaws from the previous rounds of PPP. But in addition to that, the SBA has instituted some front-end checks to make sure that, you know, businesses are eligible for PPP before they actually get relief. And at the same time, you know, in almost 100% of cases, are able to move the applications through the process relatively quickly. You know, we think that that's important. We think that every taxpayer dollar is valuable, and that, you know, we want to avoid the situation that we saw last year where, you know, tens of thousands of ineligible companies ended up getting relief that could otherwise have gone to eligible businesses that need help.
Thanks, Bharat. And to follow that up, what can cities do to support the creation, recovery, expansion of Black and other minority businesses that have been negatively impacted by the financial fallout from COVID? And that question comes from Bill Flair of Sarasota, Florida.
Well, great. I mean, look, I think one thing that is worth emphasizing here is that the federal relief programs are just a part of this. You know, PPP, EIDL, obviously a big source of relief, but for a lot of small businesses, there are options available at the state and local level as well. And I would add on that front, one of the key provisions in the American Rescue Plan was $350 billion for state and local governments who are dealing with big revenue shortfalls in many cases. And what we've seen is that when state and local governments have those kinds of revenue shortfalls, oftentimes the things that get cut are small business programs, administrative staff that help make these programs work, outreach staff, navigators, right? We're down more than a million jobs at the state and local government level since the pandemic started. So by giving money to state and local governments and saying specifically what you can do with this money is invest in small business relief programs, invest in infrastructure projects, invest in community development, we are going to be putting a lot of money out there to help rebuild these cities and towns across the country. And I think that's one reason why there was really broad bipartisan support for the American Rescue Plan at the state, among, you know, governors, mayors, city officials?
Going to ask this question because I'm seeing a ton of it. How can people assist with becoming navigators?
Great question, great to hear it. SBA is gonna be putting out guidance on community navigators in the days ahead. When that comes out, maybe we can flag it for you all, and you can circulate it among your membership. But keep an eye out at sba.gov for more information about funding for community navigators, how to sign up for it, what the guidance is, and what steps you need to take to serve as a community navigator.
Thank you for that. The last question I want to ask you, Bharat, before I open it up to Zach is, is there anything that you would like to sort of put out there, mention that maybe we didn't get to during our discussion for many of the small business owners who are seeking relief or trying to figure out resources to help their businesses at this time?
Yeah, and I can see on my screen that there's about 500 questions. So I'm sorry that we weren't able to get to all of them. But I know that folks have tons of questions about how to get relief, which program is best for them, how much time do they have? And I'm sorry we can't get to all of them today, but I would say, if you go to sba.gov, there's good, helpful resources on the website. If you go to, a local SBA resource partner, like an SBDC, which are located in many communities, you can get additional information there. On PPP, if you go talk to a lender, most lenders are still offering PPP applications. You can get information from there. What we strive to do is make these programs as simple and transparent as possible. I know that it may not seem that way, and we have to make sure that we, jump through some hoops to make sure that, like I said, it's only eligible companies that are getting relief. But we've tried to simplify these programs to make it as user-friendly as possible. And to provide information on the website and through other resources so that folks can get their questions answered. If there are other questions that we didn't get to today, hopefully you can get your answers at sba.gov. If not, let me know and we can try and follow up and answer as many of these as we can.
Thanks so much, Bharat. We really appreciate your time today. Next we have Zach. So Zach, I wanted to see if you could give yourself a brief introduction after I ask you this quick and a very important question. Now that the American Rescue Plan is passed, how can business leaders continue to help as our country recovers from COVID-19?
Yeah, so one, thank you, Renee, for hosting and for all of you for participating. You could put that slide up of all of our partners. I want to thank them all. These organizations all worked with the White House and were champions of getting ARP across the finish line. And again, I really want to thank them for helping us get the word out about the details that are in the bill. So in addition to all the programs that Bharat talked about today, the ARP is going to help us get shots in arms and schools reopened, which hopefully will help all of your businesses and those that need to reopen. So we also want to hear from you about how the American Rescue Plan is helping. We have a website that's connected to the White House's website where you can share, you can learn more information about the ARP, but you can also sort of share your story and be involved hopefully in future White House events. And then the last thing to directly answer your question, Renee, small businesses are really key in their local networks and they are trusted, they're validators to many people. And so I urge you to review some of the CDC guidance around the vaccine. The White House is going to be putting out through the Ad Council a big push around vaccine information. And what we hope that you'll use this to get information to your employees, to your community, post this on your Facebook, because we're not going to get this economy moving until we get everyone nearly everyone vaccinated. And you all telling people in there, in your community that this is safe, that these are approved by the FDA is super important to getting us there. And with that, I'll turn it over to Jim to close us out.
Thank you very much, Zach. We really appreciate you spending time. Thank you, Bharat. Thank you, Renee and Rhett and Jana. If you have any questions about how you can speak out about vaccine distribution or vaccine awareness, please let us know. And if you're interested in talking to a reporter about the ARP and what it's doing for your business and your community, please let us know. We'd love to be able to help you speak to a reporter. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. For more information on Business Forward programming, visit businessfwd.org. The Business Forward podcast is a production of Business Forward, hosted by me, Jim Doyle, produced and engineered by Alexi Lippman and Alex Pastanen. Special thanks to our Director of Programming, Jana Platt. Thanks for listening. See you next time.